that they would know that they are all our mothers in this body of Christ, and we're so thankful for them, Lord. Pour out your blessing on them, Lord. Put your arms around them and encourage them. Let them know how important and valuable they are to us and to those that are in their life, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that today would just be a special, special day for them. And Lord, I pray that most of all, they would know how much you love them, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Thank you, mothers. You may be seated. All right. If you have your Bibles this morning, go ahead and take them out and turn to the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians, chapter 5. Now, it's amazing to me as we've been going through the scriptures and coming to that place where we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. It's just, to me, it's amazing to me to see how desperately God wants us to enjoy Him. Did you notice that as you go through these scriptures? It's God saying, I want you to be happy. And we saw last week how He even commanded us to rejoice. And you look in the fruit of the Spirit and you're just taken over by this loving, kind, generous God who is saying, here's what I have given you. Here's what my present is for you. Here is the gift that comes with my love. But also as I read that and meditate on the gifts of the Spirit, I'm reminded of really how little we often see of the fruit of the Spirit. It tells me that so often we can be Christians operating under our own strength and in our own power. I mean, if you read through this list, Galatians chapter 6, or I'm sorry, chapter 5. I wonder why you guys are looking at me all funny. Galatians chapter 5, I'm sorry. In verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? The fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, that is the fruit of the Spirit. We pointed out that word fruit is singular. It's the fruit of the Spirit is love. And then what is involved with love is then all the goodness that comes with love, which is joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So God is saying, my children, I have given you amazingness. We talked last week how the fruit of the Spirit is kind of like an apple. It's that apple is love. The fruit of the Spirit is love, but when we bite into the apple, then all those other things that come along with love, the taste of the apple, the nutrition of the apple, the color of the apple, the texture of the apple, and all those good things are love. They're basically love that we enjoy. And that is the fruit of the Spirit. And so as we go through this, it's important for us now to really take inventory and see, you know, where is the move and the working of the Spirit in my own life? Where are these qualities and these attributes? This morning, we're going to focus on one particular attribute, which is peace. Now, if I were to ask you, what would be the condition of your heart and your mind at this given moment? Would it be one where your heart and mind are completely at rest and tranquil? I picture my heart and my mind being on a hammock at the beach, relaxing without a care or concern in the world. It's sort of like our minds and our hearts sitting down. That is the condition of peace. It is when we in our hearts and our minds are without distress or turmoil or conflict. This is the condition that God is encouraging us to enjoy, and it is the condition that as believers we already have. Now, if the fruit of the Spirit is love, and an aspect of love is peace, then we start to understand things a little bit deeper, and we can understand peace being the acceptance of God's love. Whereas last week we talked about how joy is the experience of God's love. Joy is this exuberance, this inward pleasure of the experience of God's love. And we talked about that last week. But now peace is the acceptance of God's love. Now that can be difficult. And may I suggest that we cannot have joy if we do not have peace. We kind of get that, don't we? I mean, if our hearts and our minds are filled with the cares and concerns of the world, it's really hard to have joy, isn't it? The Bible talks about how the cares and concerns of the world can strangle or choke out the seed of God in our hearts. It's hard to have joy without peace. Meaning it's hard to experience God's love without first the acceptance of God's love. Now, many of us here this morning, we most likely are having a difficult time in some way, shape, or form with the acceptance of God's love. We may have hurts or frustrations, we may have difficulties understanding God and His plan and the things that He's doing in our life. And so we're struggling with acceptance. We're struggling with acceptance of God's love. And because of that struggle with that acceptance, then we are having trouble with the joy in our life. In regards to this acceptance, Amy Carmichael, has anybody ever heard of her? She was a missionary to India. She had an orphanage there. She put it like this. She said, "I will accept the breaking sorrow which God tomorrow will do His Son explain. Then did the turmoil deep within me cease. For in acceptance lieth peace." Now, if we were able to put a spiritual MRI machine up to our hearts and our minds, would we see civil war breaking out? Would we see fighting and turmoil and rebellion? Or would we see a hammock? And would we see tranquility? Would we see acceptance and the absence of fighting and rebellion. The fruit of the Spirit, then, is love, which involves joy and then peace. How do we have that? How do you and I have peace here this morning? Are we interested in that? Have you noticed that the fruit of the Spirit are things that can't be bought? What can we do to really earn or buy or attain love? Or even joy, real joy, or peace? Wouldn't you say that if you were to characterize our country and the people in it, it would be the lack of peace. In fact, the opposite of peace is war. It's turmoil, it's fighting. And just in my observations, in my humble observance, that I see there is a deep lacking of this peace that I find in the Bible. And in Christianity, we are called to be different. And I wonder how much difference there is, just thinking out loud, in the church versus the world in regards to peace. As we continue with the study here this morning, I'm encouraged. I'm excited because God's moving us in a direction where we could actually have peace. That we can live our lives out here on earth in a state of rest and tranquility, the way that God intended it to be. If you will, turn to the book of John as we develop this idea a little bit more. John chapter 16, just a little bit to the left. John chapter 16. I love this. John chapter 16, verse 33. This is the words of our Lord. 16:33. He says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Wow. Jesus is speaking these things to his disciples because his disciples were about to experience this tribulation that was in the world. He says, I've spoken these things to you. He's saying, I'm giving you information. There are things you need to understand. There are things that if you understand what's happening and the words that I say, that it'll transform your life. And not only that, Jesus is saying, you need to know this because you need to have what I'm giving you. Almost as if there is going to be success for the disciples in their calling, in their mission, it would be absolutely critical for them to have peace. That wouldn't be optional. It wouldn't be as if they would go out about the mission of proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ, and it didn't matter where they had peace or not in their heart. That was foundational to their success. Why is that? Because if you go back a little bit, you'll find the things that Jesus was speaking about was the fact that the time had come for Jesus to be betrayed. Their world was about to unravel. And Jesus would explain to them that I'm going to go away, but it's going to be okay because I'm going to give you something better. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. He's the comforter. He is the power. He is the dynamite, the dunamis power that will be given to you, and it will be the agent to which you will be successful. And the Holy Spirit will give you these internal qualities and characteristics, the fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will give you those things so that as things around you begin to happen, and in fact, when Jesus in John 16:33 was talking about peace, at that very moment, Judas was away telling Jesus' captors where Jesus was. And Jesus was getting them to understand something very important, getting them to know that Jesus was with them physically, and they relied on that. They have this sense of security that Jesus was with them, and we could see Him, and that wherever we go, He would be with us, and everything would be okay as long as Jesus is with us. But now Jesus was going to go away, and the disciples were even going to be dispersed. But He says, it's going to be fine. You know, He even said, it's going to be better than fine, and He said, it's going to be better then I was here physically with you because I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. He's going to be inside of you. And He's going to change every dimension of your life. And He's going to give you these attributes, these qualities that will even make everyday life a pleasure, a joy, and a treat. Because He is with you. And He will be with you wherever you go and whatever you're doing. So Jesus is laying the foundation that peace was absolutely essential. Now notice here, again, in verse 33, chapter 16, He says, I've spoken these things to you. Just like we are here today. These are the things that we need to know. The things that we need to know from here on out to be able to deal with life with this amazing amount of calm and tranquility inside of us. He says, these things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. Do you see something important there? That in me, you will have peace. He is laying this foundation, this truth that is so important, that it would be the very person of Jesus Christ and our connection with Him relationally that would make the difference in their acceptance of God's love. But He says, in me. So here's the important foundation. And here's the key if we are lacking peace. That there is something about us that has not accepted God's love. Whether that means that we haven't accepted His plan. We haven't accepted what He's doing in our life at the current moment. That in some way we're not okay with what God is doing, and we're fighting it, we're resisting it. Maybe we're afraid. Maybe we're hurt. Maybe there are wounds and pain that we carry in our heart. I mean, let's face it. Probably a lot of us have gone through and experienced terrible, tragic things. And Jesus is saying that there is something that He wants us to grasp onto, and that is that Jesus Christ Himself is the agent of peace. And woven into our salvation is the fact that first and foremost, our salvation means that we have peace with God. That's where peace starts. There is no peace outside of God. And it starts the moment that we have peace with God, and that happens the moment we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and His work on the cross wipes away that in which caused us to be enemies of God, and that was our sin. So when we receive the finished work of Jesus Christ, we now receive the first most important thing about peace, that we have peace with God now. Romans chapter 5 verse 1 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So that is the first moment that our lives are actually free to experience true peace. It's because we're not enemies of God anymore. That no longer are our lives against God. No longer are we at enmity against God. But notice something in the text here. This peace that we can experience, it's not a promise. Take a look. "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you" what? "In me you may have peace." So there we go. No wonder sometimes I lack peace. No wonder. Because He's saying, "You may have peace in me." It's like an invitation, isn't it? What He's saying is, it's up to us. Jesus has done everything that needs to take place in order for us to have peace. And so we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior. And now God has taken away the barrier. Our consciences have been washed clean. And now it's walking in that peace. So in me, you may have peace. It's the invitation, the opportunity that Jesus is saying to His disciples. He's saying, you can have peace. And it's only going to be found in me. There's not going to be another place that you're going to find peace. You know what that tells me? That tells me that when I don't have peace, when I have anxiety, stress, when I'm disturbed, when I can't have a settled mind or heart, it tells me that I'm choosing that. Do you see that? That means it's not something that's out of my control. Jesus said, "In me you may have peace." Boy, I'll tell you, that gets my mind spinning about so many things. And I just wonder how many times we choose not to have God's peace and then to try to substitute other things to get our peace. In me you may have peace. Well, I don't have peace, so I'm going to find it somewhere else. Do you know there's an insatiable desire for us to have this peace on a human level? And Jesus is saying, in me, you may have peace. That's exciting to me. Because Jesus, he's saying, you may have peace in me. That you don't have to worry about anything else. You don't have to try to find it anywhere else. That it's just right in me. And it's just the acceptance of my love. And I don't want to step on any toes or get too controversial, but I have to wonder then how many times we substitute medication or chemical changes in order to find this peace when Jesus said, in me you will have peace. And then I won't deny that there are physical issues that need to be addressed. But I'm just reading the Bible here, and it says, in me you may have peace. Perhaps, many of the things that we call physical problems, perhaps they may be spiritual problems. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God. You guys know that one? To present yourselves as holy living sacrifices. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Now again, I'm not saying there are times where physically we may have issues and may need help. But Jesus said, in me you may have peace. And perhaps many issues that we experience have to do with the lack of presenting ourselves to God as holy living sacrifices. Allowing God to transform our minds, to renew us in the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus said, in me you may have peace. Now that tells me something. Jesus, being the Prince of Peace, he didn't make it difficult or hard. He just said, in me you may have peace. Just as simple as that. So I look at that and I have to ask myself, then why don't I have that? The problem is with me. Well, notice what he says after that. He says, in the world, you will have tribulation. Now notice something different about that part. Did you notice something? That was a promise. That wasn't a you may have tribulation. That was a promise. Jesus said, in me you may have peace if you want, but in this world you will have tribulation. So there's the promise. So that's where everything gets all out of whack, doesn't it? There's where the tension is. The tension comes when we get into our scripture and we read the word and we see these promises and we we know these scriptures that say that God will keep those in perfect peace whose minds are stayed on Him. And we read in Philippians 4 where it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but on all things by prayer and supplications make your requests known to God, and the peace of God will guard your heart and mind." We know those. But we are challenged constantly, aren't we? We are challenged by this other thing. Do you see this other thing here? Don't you hate this other thing? In this world, you will have tribulation. I hate that. That's that other thing, that other part. That means that we are challenged. This means that this is serious business, that there is something very real. And previously in John 16 and 15, Jesus says, this world hates me. And the world will hate you too because of what you represent, because of who I am, because of the name of God. And so here we go, trying to just smooth that out a little bit. And trying to think, well, you know, the world's not that bad. If I can just make enough money and have a good job and have a nice family, I'll have peace. Maybe I'll get a few vacations and be able to go relax a little bit. I mean, I used to think that. And the more of those things I had, the worse it got. Because I missed this second part. I think maybe I knew it, but maybe the truth didn't hit me as much. That in this world, you will have tribulation. There's a promise. So what are we going to do with that? That's the issue, right? And Jesus is talking to His disciples, and He wants them to be ready. He wants them to be armed. Because it's coming. In this world, you have tribulation. Now, that's just such a weird thing. It's like we're in this world, subject to the pain of this world and the tribulation of this world. But at the same time, Jesus, He says you can still have peace. Now the mistake is made when we don't realize enough the trouble of the world. So then we start to experience something that feels uncomfortable, or it feels anxious, or something we don't like. So the failure to understand what Jesus said, that you may have peace in me, the failure to understand that causes us to go in the turbulent world, the chaotic world, and to find our peace there. Now, how crazy is that? And that is just, I think a lot of us have been there before, and it is just a terrible, endless pursuit to seek out in the world something that will soothe my soul, that will ease my mind. And Jesus is standing there the whole time, and he says, "You may have peace in me if you want." But we say, "No, it just can't be that easy." And I got to find something. Maybe if there's a book I could read. Maybe there's a technique or something. Maybe I can do some methods of breathing, or maybe if I see this doctor or that doctor, and we'll get it all figured out. And Jesus said, "You may have peace in me if you'd like." So why don't we have that? And I'm talking to myself out loud. Why don't I have that? The problem basically comes down, again, to the failure of us to accept God's love. in some way we say, you know, God, I don't, this thing seems bad, so I don't know if you love me. I would rather have more control of this situation because it feels better. Does it though? Does having control make us feel better, really? Does holding a porcupine make us feel better? At least we have it. At least we're holding it and we know where it is and we know where it's going to go. Not a lot of peace there, is there? But see, that's what we do. And there's the promise where Jesus said, you're going to have tribulation, but don't then go into the tribulation to try to find peace. Said, you may have it in me. I'd like to look at that idea just a little bit more. If you will turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, just a little bit to the left there. Look at verse 35. Now, before we look at this, you know, none of us are perfect and none of us are going to have continual, nonstop peace for the rest of our life, probably. But let's just go for it. Let's try it. I'm willing to just experiment with this and just say, Lord, let's just go for it. The disciples were learning something about peace. Notice in verse 35, on the same day when evening had come, Jesus said to them, let us cross over to the other side. So let's think about this for a minute. So this is Jesus himself saying to the disciples, let's go to the other side. Now, in reality, that should be all we need, right? Here's God, the creator of the universe. He's going in a boat with us, and he said, we're going to the other side. Okay, cool. So that should be the end of the story, right? So when they had left, in verse 36, they took him along in the boat, and there were other little boats. And then a great windstorm arose. These are those windstorms in our life. This is the challenge. This is the test that we saw in John 16:33. This is the in the world part. You will have what? That's that part. The challenge here comes. And the waves beat into the boat, so that it was even filling the boat. But Jesus was in the stern, what? Sleeping. Asleep on the pillow. Do you guys like that? I love that. Is Jesus at perfect peace right here? Do you see the world around him going crazy? And he's in the stern of the boat. I even like how he has a pillow. Don't you? I wonder what their pillows were like back then. I wonder if they're hypoallergenic. I wonder if they had the contour for correct cervical posture. Probably not. But this is amazing to me. What a great picture, right? And you can see the disciples getting anxious because Jesus was asleep. But see, at this point, they forgot what Jesus said, that he was going to go to the other side. So that's why Jesus was asleep. It didn't bother him that things around him were going crazy. That didn't affect him at all. So this story we find in verse 37, the great windstorm arose and the waves beat into the boat. It was filling. Jesus was in the stern with the pillow, and they awoke him. And they said, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Have you guys ever felt that way? "Lord, are you paying attention? Do you see what's happening to me down here? I'm dying." And all of a sudden, that mind that's on the beach in a hammock, and the heart that is on the beach in the hammock, is now running around like a chicken with its head cut off, freaking out. What's going to happen? What am I going to do? How's this going to work out? Jesus, don't you care? Of course Jesus cared. But he wasn't worried about it, right? Why wasn't Jesus worried about it? Because they were going to get to the other side. Now, here's when life really gets exciting. What if the disciples at this point, they remembered what Jesus said and they believed what Jesus said, and then they started enjoying the ride? "Hey, look at that, Peter. It looks like we're sinking. Look at those waves, and we're just rocking and rolling all over the place. This is awesome. How is God going to get us to the other side? How is he going to do it? Let's wait and see. Let's watch this." Do you wonder how much we miss? Because all we can do is look at the waves and freak out instead of looking at Jesus and saying, "Jesus, cool. How are you going to do this? This is awesome." And that's unfortunate. I think, how many things have I missed because I'm staring at the waves and forgetting the promises of God? But see, at this point, they had an opportunity to know that this is God in the boat. He said to get the other side. So let's embrace this storm. Knowing something, knowing, having the information, the confidence that Jesus loved them. There, what it was, there's the issue, that they could accept God's love, that they would understand the attributes of God, that God would not allow them to be separated from His love. God would not say, "Let's go to the other side," and then fall asleep and forget about them. They could have embraced it, rejoiced in it, watched it, celebrated it. But their minds reverted back to the problems, to the cares, the concerns, the situation. They were choking and drowning and focused and wallowing in their own fear, not accepting the love of God. So Jesus, in verse 39, he gets up and he rebukes the wind. I love that. He rebukes the wind and he said to them, what? "Peace be still." Love that. He says, "Peace be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And then he said, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no what?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" So there it is, right there. The problem with our lacking in peace is the lacking in faith. That's it. And when we're lacking in faith, it's because we cannot receive God's love. And that's where it all boils down to. It all boils down to the full embrace of God's love. In every circumstance, every situation, all of those tribulations that come to us in the world, they're just like this sea. They are nothing. They are insignificant, and they are not even what's important. The only way the waves of the sea will overcome us is if we choose to involve ourselves in the things of this world, looking to them, caring about them, involving ourselves, wasting mental and emotional energy in them, when all the meanwhile, Jesus has got it under control and He says, "You may have peace in me." The challenge for us this morning is that we will realize and understand that we may have peace in Christ. Our part in that is to have an unconditional faith in the person of Jesus Christ. When we have an unconditional faith, it means that we understand God's love for us. And because He loves us so much, we can accept the fullness of our life, the fullness of our circumstances, the fullness of the challenges, wherever God has placed us, the location where we are in life, that we can accept all that now as God's unconditional love for us. And that great peace lies in our unconditional acceptance of God's will for our life, knowing that His will for our life is coated and covered in His love. And when we know that, we stop wrestling, rebelling, and fighting, and we accept God's will. And then we receive God's love, which surpasses all that we could have in this world. What do you think? Do you guys want to go for it? We may have it. I'm excited because this is the red words of the Bible. Love those, don't you? And this is Jesus saying, buckaroos, you can have peace if you want. Father, I'm so grateful for Your word and Your truths that speak right to us, Lord. And we need Your peace so desperately, God, and I'm asking that You would help us to not put any energy or emotion that is of the flesh and not in the Spirit, Lord. Let us occupy our minds with the things above, with the glory of Jesus Christ. Let us embrace every situation and circumstance as another act of Your great love, Lord. Father, this life is just so short, and it's such a vapor, and it's so meaningless in regards to eternity and to heaven, Lord. Let us live our life for You and You alone. And as we carry out the plan that You have for our lives, may we experience great peace, Lord. Father, if anybody is here this morning and they've never received peace with You because they've never received Your forgiveness, Lord, I want to pray for them right now that by Your Spirit You'd lead them to the cross. The Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that the wages of sin is death. But God demonstrated His love that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That whosoever would believe in their heart and confess with their mouth that Jesus rose from the dead, that they would be saved. If you're not saved here this morning, today is your day of salvation by receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's as simple as that. We're going to have people up front. If you've received Jesus as your Savior and you want to come up and pray with somebody, I encourage you to do that right now. And for the rest of us, let us fully embrace the opportunities in the Spirit that Jesus has given us. Lord, if anybody here is just struggling, rebelling, fighting, scratching and clawing, I pray for them, Lord, that Your perfect peace would come over them, Lord. Thank You for that wonderful gift of Your Spirit. We love You, Lord. We praise You. We give You all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's stand and we're going to worship the Lord. And I'm really excited for this song that we're going to do. Guys, sing this song with your heart. And we're going to have prayer people up front. If you want to come and receive prayer about anything, please come forward. God bless you guys. And just have a peaceful, peaceful week. Love you guys. God bless you.